Now, I want to ask you if you would to get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that. And let's just look this morning. We are in our first series for the year, and I've named it Foundations. And here's the reason why. I'm going to be talking to you about bedrock Bible truths that are essential to the Christian life. I mean, these are just things that are going to be part of our journey if we're tracking with God, all right? So that's what we're going to be talking about. And this morning, we're going to look in God's Word, and we're going to be talking about the fight of faith, because that's going to be part of your journey if you are tracking with the Lord, if you're chasing after the Lord God. I want you to look this morning at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It'll be a little bit different from my normal pulpit version, which is the New American Standard. That's what I do from week to week. But this morning, New Living Translation. Just listen to what God's Word says. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So, in light of the fact that you're a man of God, in light of the fact that you are a God chaser, in light of the fact that you are going to heaven when you die, that you belong to the Lord God, that you're called of Him, so much that applies to every one of you here who know the Lord Jesus. So he says, you, Timothy, who are a man of God, run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness, a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And then he says, fight the good fight for the true faith, holding tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. Now, here's the thing God has already told us. What has he said to me about my walk and my life with him? Well, God has said, in my life, as I follow after the Lord, there are going to be some things in 2017 I'm going to have to run from. There are going to be some things you're going to seek to come into my life. I need to run from them. All right? So the same is going to be true for you. Also, there are going to be some things as I go through 2017 I need to chase after. He said, pursue these things. He said, run from some things, pursue these certain things. And then he said, there is also in 2017, there is a fight that cannot be avoided. And you've got to ask yourself the question, am I fighting a fight? Are you doing that? Is that true in your life? Can you say there is this fight that is going on in my life? Because if I am chasing after God, there is a fight I cannot avoid if I want to be everything that God has for me. Look at the truth in your outline. If you look at your life point outline, the first truth is the reality is that life is a battle because we live in a broken world. I have to fight for anything and everything that is good. I have to fight for that. And so do you. I have found, as I'm sure you have, evil comes easy. Did you agree for that? It's not hard. It's not hard to do evil. Evil is easy, but good, that's a struggle. You know, if you want good health, you're going to have to fight for it, right? Would you agree with that? I mean, you are. If you want a great marriage, you're going to have to fight for it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. If you want a good marriage, a great marriage, you're going to have to fight for it. Why? Because it is hard work to have a great marriage. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your background is. Every man and woman who has a great marriage has fought for it. And so if you want a good one, you're going to have to fight for it. If you want kids in life that succeed, you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to fight for them. You're going to have to do that as a parent. You will have to fight in 2017 to have a balanced life. Being unbalanced is easy. I tend toward an unbalanced life. My life has a tendency to get, an old South Arkansas term, whomper jawed, okay? I don't know everything that means. It just means unbalanced, if you want to know. So I have a tendency to go toward that. And so do you. We have to fight to be balanced. So here's what God is saying. There is a cosmic battle every day between good and evil. And I know that you know that, but here's something that you may not realize. Let me just give this to you. In 2017, one of your greatest battles as a follower of Jesus Christ is not going to be between good and evil. Now listen, it's going to be between what's okay and what's best. That's going to be your biggest battle. Now, why is that important? Because there are a lot of things that are okay, but you shouldn't really be doing it because it's just okay. And the thing of the matter is, if I get in the habit of simply doing what's okay, but not what's best, eventually I'm going to find myself at that line in my life that is the dividing line between what is obedience to God and what is disobedience to Him. Because I have consistently chosen just what's okay. And what's okay ultimately is going to lead me astray in my life. It's going to get me further and further from what is best. I cannot get away from Paul's statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, where he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now listen, that does not mean that Demas forsook the faith. It just simply means that Demas took the easy way. Demas took another way. It's not that necessarily he did wrong per se, but he had been making some decisions that brought him to the place where he forsook the calling of God on his life as a man who was going out and was being a missionary with the Apostle Paul. And what God is simply saying is, you and I can easily get to the place in our life where we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God because we keep choosing what is okay instead of what is best. And I get to the point where I am grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I am going to lose rewards in heaven, and I am losing the blessing of God on my life on a day-to-day basis because I'm simply going the easiest way. It is easy to go the easy way, and that's my battle. Here's the truth in your outline. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. That's why it uses terms like fight and war, and conquer, and strive, and battle. And Paul tells us what his attitude. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. He said, I fight to win. Paul said, listen, he said, I have determined that when I get home, whenever it is that I leave this world, he said, I have determined I want to hear God say one thing to me. I want to hear God say, well done. How many of you want to hear God say, well done when you get home? Yes. And the Lord said, I'm going to say it to some, but I won't say it to everybody. There are going to be some of us that are going to get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. We're going to be like somebody who escaped out of a house that was on fire, and the only thing we have left to us is the clothes on our back. We lost everything else. Why? Because we always chose the easy way. We always did what was easy, not what was right. And that will get us into trouble. Paul said, I have determined when I get home, I want to hear God say, well done. He said, I fight every day so that when I get home, I will be a winner. I have no plans to be a loser. He said, I'm going to fight this fight. So listen to Ephesians 6, verse 12. We are not fighting, Paul says, against human beings. We're fighting spiritual forces and the powers of darkness in an unseen spiritual world. Now listen, right now there is a spiritual war going on around every one of us in this room. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus, even if you don't know Christ, even if you're not part of His family, there is a war going on around you. You cannot see it with your eye. You cannot hear it with your ear, but it is real. And look at the insight in your outline. Let me give you an insight here. In 2017, if you don't sense the battle, then you've surrendered because the battle is in you. Listen, if you don't know that there's a battle going on, you're already losing. Because you're making poor decisions. You're making decisions that God doesn't want you to make because you're not even aware that you're being fought against. You're not even aware that an enemy is coming against you. Every day of your life, you ought to have an awareness of a battle going on around you, and that battle is about what kind of decision you're going to make. What decision are you going to make today? What decision are you going to make tomorrow? What decision are you going to make this week about your life with Christ? Let me give you my points this morning. Number one, there is a battle between the old you and the new you. Now listen, When I came to faith in the Lord, something happened inside of me. Jesus called it, to describe it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. Now, the Lord was simply telling us something about ourselves. And he said, when you are born into this world, you are born with a nature, a certain kind of nature. And David, the psalmist David, describes it. Psalm 51, verse 5. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now listen, he is not saying that the love relationship between his mom and his dad was sinful. Because when a man and a woman are married, the physical relationship is not sinful. It's right in the middle of God's will, right? Right? Yes. That's why we promote marriage. Marriage is not a cage that traps you against your will. Marriage is a road that gets you to a predetermined destination. Marriage carries you to God's will for your life. God says, I intend for men and women to marry. There are very few people in this world who God gave the gift of celibacy. There's probably not one in this room. God made us to want to be with a person of the opposite sex. And God said, listen, he said, I want you to marry, and I want you to have children. If anybody ought to be having children in this world, it ought to be God's kids. It is horrible for Christians to get married and say, oh, I don't want children. That's absolutely horrible. You're going to leave childbearing to lost people? If anybody ought to be having children, it ought to be God's kids. Amen? Why? Because having kids and getting married and having children is how one of the ways we pass on the faith. We pass on the faith to a next generation. And when we come into this world, we're born with this old nature. And he said, I was shapen in iniquity. That doesn't mean that the love relationship between mom and dad was sinful. It simply means, he says, when I was created, when dad and mom came together and I came into being, the old sin nature of Adam that was in my mom and dad passed to me. And he said, I got everything that Adam and Eve had done. It passed down to me. It's going on to another generation. He said, I was shaped in iniquity. I was made and born a sinner. That's the old way. And the old me wants to do everything that's easy. It wants to do just what I want to do. It wants to do what is convenient. And there is something inside of me, even though I am born again, I am a new man. God has created a new spirit within me. The old nature I was born with is in this body of flesh. And it is with me every day. And this old me that is in this body of flesh, Paul says, in the New Testament, he says, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that means that when I'm an old man, if I live to be 95, there is a part of me in this body that will be as rebellious to the will of God at 95 as it is when I'm 18. It will never change. I cannot subdue it. I cannot make it better. It is the old nature. It will not submit to it, God. Neither indeed can it submit. It will never change. And so it is with me. And what Paul is saying is the old nature fights the new nature. And the new me, at my core, I want to do God's will. I want to do what the Lord wants to do. But there is a war in me. And if I don't fight that war, I'll do what's easy. I'll always do what's easy. I have got to fight. And so here's what I'm saying. Every day of 2017, there's going to be a battle of greater or lesser degree in you who know the Lord. And your old nature is going to fight you that it wants to do stuff that's wrong. It wants to do what is self-defeating. It wants to do what's going to mess up your family life. It wants to do what is going to bring conflict into your home and into the job. It's going to seek to do in your life what will make you miserable. Now, I'm getting you somewhere in this. Watch this. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Paul describes this battle. He said, when I want to do God's will, as far as my new nature is concerned, there is something else deep within me. My old nature is at war with my mind, and it wins the fight. It makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And so Paul is simply saying, there's this battle inside of me. There's nothing wrong with you when you come to faith in Christ. Why do you still want to do some things you shouldn't do? Because the old nature is still there. It will never stop. Now listen, here's what God is saying. If you don't fight, you will lose. If you don't fight, you're going to lose blessings. If you don't fight, you're going to bring shame on the cause of Christ, because there is part of you that doesn't want to do God's will. There are days it'll be easy for you to make a decision you're going to come to worship. There'll be other days you will have to make a conscientious decision, I'm going to worship. I'm going to do it. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to do my daily Bible reading. I'm going to do this. You have to make a conscious decision, because there's going to be a battle going on inside of you. Look at the truth in your outline. God's will for you in 2017 won't be accomplished unless you fight the good fight of faith. Now, here's what I want you to know. The war in 2017 is, now listen, it is not between you and your wife. It is not between you and your husband. It is not between you and your children. It is not between you and your parents. It is not between you and your boss at work. It is not between you and the people you work with. The war of 2017 is the same it has always been. Now listen, it is the war inside you. It's inside you. That's where the war is. And it is inside me. There are four battle points, number two, I want you to look at. Let me give them to you. Number one, I'm going to have to fight, and so are you in 2017, the battle between selfishness or love. Every day, I'm going to have to make a decision whether I'm going to do what I want to do or I'm going to seek to live for somebody else in my circle of reference. Am I going to live to do what's best for my wife? Am I going to do what's best for my children, for my grandchildren, for my friends, for my church? Or am I going to do what I want to do? That's what I'm going to do. And here's what I want you to understand, the truth in your outline. Every win means my life gets easier. Every time I do what is best for Catherine, I win. Home is great. Work is great when you do what is best for the others. It's always going to be that way. When you are selfish, there is always conflict. When you're loving and considerate, there will be more peace in your life. Now, let me draw some lines here. If your home this morning is a home life that is full of conflict and anger and unrest and tension, it is because selfishness is reigning there. If your home life is miserable, it's because of selfishness. And here's the truth in your outline. Selfishness creates conflict with others. James 4, verse 1 and 2. Do you know where your fights at home, where your fights at work, where your fights with your kids, with your wife, with your husband, with your friends, do you know where your fights and your arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that make war inside you. Then when you don't get what you want, you quarrel and fight and you make everybody else miserable. Doesn't say that last part, I just threw that in. Do you realize that the conflict and the tension in your home, the conflict between you and your spouse, between you and your family, between you and your brother or your sister, between you and the kids, between you and your friends, between you and the people at work, between you and the kids that you go to school with, do you realize that the conflict doesn't start with them, it starts with you? You say, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. You need a humble spirit. Oh, you want me to be a doormat? No, that's not what I said. I said you need a humble spirit. You know, when I am humble, even the poor decisions that the people around me make, can't people around you make some poor decisions? Have you noticed that? If they would just do what you tell them to do, right? People around you take stupid pills every day, don't they? Come on, y'all are looking like you're so spiritual. Some of you are like, yeah, that's right. You know I'm telling you the truth. If people would just do what you tell them to do, life would be so much better. But they're not. They're not going to do it. They're going to keep taking stupid pills, and their goofiness and their irritating ways overwhelm you. And there is conflict in your home. There's conflict at work. There's conflict everywhere else because you can just bite a 10-penny nail because of them. You know why? Because they're messing up your life. You know why they're messing up your life? Because you're not humble. Here's the truth in your outline. The more selfish we are, the more irritated we become with the weaknesses of others. And I know some of you say, I like chapter and verse on that. Philippians 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. I say, John, I don't want to be a doormat. That's not what humility is. Let me give you a definition in your outline. Humility isn't thinking less of me. That's a doormat. Humility is thinking of me less. That's what humility is. It's not thinking less of me. It's thinking of me less. Home life is so much better when I think more about what Catherine needs than what I want. It's just so much better. And humility is when I think of her first and me second. Okay? And then number two, there's going to be a battle between forgiveness and bitterness. I am a broken man living in a broken world with billions of other broken people. You know what that means? That means it is absolutely impossible that I'm not going to get hurt. It is impossible that you're not going to get hurt. People leave the church all the time. Why? Because they hurt me. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to be moving a lot. Because there's no place you can go on this earth that you're not going to get hurt in some church. Can I get an amen on that? Huh? That's the way it's going to be. You're going to get hurt anywhere you go. So God says, I want you to learn how to make it wherever you are. We're going to get hurt. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. Some of you were hurt this last year and it was really real. And here's, let me give you a truth here. This is a Bible truth. You can't control what people do to you, but you can control your response. God says the response is your responsibility. And see, this is what I wrote after that. I can't control how much somebody is going to hurt me. I don't have any control over that. But I have total control over how long I let what they did hurt me. I can control that. I have to let go of my hurt. Why do I want to let go of my hurt? Because, the last thing I want is bitterness. Because when I get bitter, I'm going to hurt my wife, I'm going to hurt my two sons, I'm going to hurt my grandkids, and I'm going to hurt my church when I get bitter. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Now just listen. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. Why, God? Why do you not want me to be bitter? Here it is. Because as it springs up in you, it's going to cause widespread trouble. Now listen, hurting many in their spiritual lives. What is God saying? Listen, I can't control getting hurt. I'm going to get hurt. People are going to hurt me intentionally. Sometimes they're going to hurt me unintentionally. But God says you have control over hanging on to it or letting go. Now, why do I want to let go of my hurt? Listen, here it is. Because if I get bitter, if I take up an offense, my bitterness is contagious. Bitterness is contagious. Write that down somewhere in your notes. Bitterness is contagious. What does that mean? It means you cannot be bitter and not give it to somebody else. It's impossible. It'll happen every time. When I'm counseling couples that are having problems, I say, listen, the last thing you need to do, because you did the right thing in coming to a counselor, the last thing you need to do is go to mom and dad. Why? Because you're married to him. You're married to her. And if you're a Christ follower, the thing you want is to make this marriage work. That's your heart. That's your desire. But he or she hurt you. The last thing you want to do is run to mom and dad and tattle on them. Why? Because mom and daddy love you. Their blood is in you. And they'll kill them. I don't care what they gave them for Christmas last year. They will be chopped meat for mom and daddy. Why? Because he hurt my baby girl. She hurt my boy. Let me tell you something. You hurt my baby girl. You hurt my boy. You got to deal with me. And that will not be pleasant. You see, the last thing I need, mom and dad need, is your bitterness. Here's the reason why. God is going to give you grace to forgive your spouse. Because it's your trouble. It's your problem. And God's going to give you grace. But he will not give your mom and dad grace. Why? It ain't none of their business. And they are in your business. And when they get in your business, they're going to take up your offense and they're going to be racked with bitterness maybe for years. And you are going to suffer because Christmas is not going to be a joy, I can tell you that, maybe for several years. Oh, I want you to come, but as far as I'm concerned, he or she can stay home. I still remember what they did to you, baby. And I want you to know I still don't trust them. You know why? Because they don't have grace. Does that make sense? You tracking with me? The last thing you want to do is tell mom and dad. You don't need to be telling anybody. And the first thing we do is we run to somebody and tell them our offense. You know what you've done? You have just dumped your bitterness on somebody who has no grace to deal with your pain. And God said, don't do it. Don't do that. You will hurt them spiritually. They will be stuck in their spiritual growth. Why? Because they're carrying your junk. And they don't know how to get rid of it. Because they should have never picked it up to begin with. And then number three, there's a battle over easy and right. I'm just going to hit this one real fast. There is this battle in my old nature. My old nature wants to do what's easy. My new nature wants to do what is right. Whether, you know, my new nature wants my body to be healthy. My new nature wants me to eat right. My old nature just wants to eat anything in sight because it is undisciplined. My new nature wants to be organized because I want to honor God with my life. My old nature tends toward disorganization. It doesn't really go in for that. My new nature wants peace. My old nature wants war, and it wants to fight, and it wants to always come out on top. And so there's a battle between easy and right. And then number four, there's the battle over short-term pleasure and long-term benefit. Now, I know there's some of you here this morning are tired. Maybe you're sick and tired. You're tired of the struggle. You're tired of being a parent. You're tired of fighting for the marriage. You're tired of seeking to do what's right and just where God's got you planted. Here's what God wants you to remember, Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. Lord, why? Because after a while, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't get discouraged and give up. Listen, everything in this life is a fight. And if I'm going to get what God has for me in 2017, I've got to stand and I've got to fight. And God said, if you will not stop, if you will stay with me, if you'll hang with me, if you'll trust with me, I will bless you in the end. There is a blessing coming. So here's the truth. To get the best God has for you in this life, you're going to have to fight for it. How do you win? How are you going to win in this life? The last thing I want to share with you, let me give you some weapons for 2017. And there are three of them. There are three things you absolutely have to have if you're going to live the life God wants you to live. Number one, you need faith from God's Word. The only way I'm going to stay in this fight is I've got to be in the Word. That's why we want you to read through the Bible every year. That's why you can go to our information desk and you can pick up a Bible at a reduced cost. You can get one of these chronological Bibles. It'll take you through the Bible as the events occurred. It's a fantastic way to read the Word because you need to be in the Word every day. Not once a week, not twice a month, every day. Why? Because faith comes from reading the Word. And your faith will never grow. You will not be the man or woman you need to be. You will not stay in the fight if you're not in the Word. The first thing you need is you need faith from God's Word. The second thing you need is you need support from God's people. That's why we talk about church membership. That's why we talk about being in a life group. Why? Listen, you cannot do the Christian life alone. If you are out here this morning and you're coming right now, but you just want to fly under the radar, let me tell you something. You are living a dangerous life. And you're just like, I don't want anybody to know I'm here. I don't want anybody talking to me. I just want to kind of fly under the radar. And listen, I understand sometimes that you just want to kind of figure us out, you know. Are we consistent? Is this, are we something that can be trusted here? I totally understand that. I get that. But you don't let that be the way that you live life. Because you will not live in 2017 the way God wants you to live. You need to get connected. You need support. You need to be in the Word every day for faith. And you need the support of God's people. You need to build some relationships here. You need to get to know somebody. Hebrews 10:25. Do not stay away from church meetings as some are doing. Instead, you should meet together and encourage each other. You need the encouragement that comes from being in a regular church attendance. You need to get in a life group so other people can build you up. You need faith from the Word. You need support from God's people. And number three, you need power from the Holy Spirit. I need His power. 1 John 4, you belong to God and the Holy Spirit of God is in you and He is more powerful than the spirit that is in the world. Listen, here's the deal. In 2017, every day, I need faith that comes from the Word of God. I need that every day. Every week, I need support that comes from God's people. I need to be with you. I look forward to coming here on Sunday morning. I feed off of you. Being around you feeds me. And you need that. And then number three, I need the power from God's Spirit every minute. The only way I can live the Christian life is in relationship with Him. I need Him, and so do you. Now, I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. In just a few moments, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to celebrate somebody coming to faith in Christ and following Him in obedient baptism. But before we do that, there may be somebody here this morning, and you know you've never made a decision for Christ, but you know in your heart God has spoken to you. And we're not going to have a walk forward invitation, but listen, I want you to be real still. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to stay down here at the front following this service. And if you know that there's never been a time when you've asked Jesus to save you, you've never admitted to God that you're a sinner, I want you to come to the front. I want you to come down here and meet me. Either I or one of our pastors will help you. We want to encourage you. We will not keep you longer than you want to stay. We will simply answer your questions. We'll seek to give you some guidance, show you how you can receive Christ as your Savior. Let us help you do that. Just come down here and meet with me as soon as the service is over.